You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. For Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too. Did you guys walk over Mel?
What?
Did y'all walk over mail into the studio today, into the office today?
You had to step over some mail that was slid under the door?
I'm asking if y'all did.
I did not.
No.
Okay. All right.
You got here later than we did.
I hope though. I was the first person to see it. Because if anybody's stepping over mail and not picking it up and putting it on the desk, that is some Bush League behavior.
So you picked it up?
Yes.
Good job.
I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm trying to expose to anybody who stepped over the mail without picking it up.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I was here before you.
Don't know when the mail got here.
That's true. It came after I got
asked the important question.
It came after I got
here. Yeah, when I got here, Esme was still there, so she would have gotten it. But yeah. I think when you got here,
think
she
Esme's
was gone.
Here today.
She was.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She's now gone, so she wouldn't have picked up the mail when you got here.
Right, but there is no telling when the mail got here.
I'm just saying, when I got here, she was here, so she would have picked it up.
So that you're able to cross the name of suspects off. Cross Brian's name.
I don't think there's any suspects.
Maybe, look, my initial thought was like, I can't believe nobody picked up this mail.
We're a small company now.
My second thought was, well, maybe I'm the first person to see the mail.
Okay.
I was really hoping that it was the latter and not the former.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask the difficult questions.
I think you were the first one.
Okay.
At least I hope so. To your point.
That's what I'm saying.
I hope you're right.
I hope that I was the first one to see that mail.
No. Mapes?
If Mapes stepped over the mail, bad job, Mapes. It's Bush League.
Don't know.
Grow up.
Interns?
If the intern did it, learn professional etiquette. Pick up the mail. Pick up the mail.
Pick it up.
And look, maybe I was the first one to see it. This isn't an issue at all. And this is just we're learning a lesson from victory here.
I think that's what we're doing.
Maybe we're learning a lesson from victory here. Rockets didn't win yesterday in Denver. We'll get to that in like seconds. Don't ignore victory what you wouldn't in defeat. It's Monday Night Football yesterday. Also, this college football quarterback carousel. It's kind of interesting. It's pretty interesting. But we begin with the Rockets. Rockets and Nuggets yesterday. Rocket Power. You are going to spend a lot of time talking about this on Rocket Power.
That's probably all we're going to talk about, I would imagine, this week.
Yeah.
Because it's going to air tomorrow. No, Thursday. Today's Tuesday.
There's going to be a lot of Rocket Nugget chatter on Rocket Power. The Rockets lost in overtime yesterday, 128-125. This is a fun game. Like, it had controversy. It had technicals. It had Ime blasting the officials after the game. Get to that in a second. Alpi Shingun had a funny soundbite after the game. Alpi was really good. They were trading punches left and right down the stretch. It was like, I don't want to say Tyson because he got beaten all his big fights and he
spinal
whenever he got into big fights. This was like Ali Frazier just trading punches left and right, and then finally the Nuggets won in overtime. Joe,
I mean, you could say it was like Tyson because the Rockets are struggling to beat the best teams in the West. Just to be honest, so like it can work.
Is the Rockets defense impregnable?
Maybe.
Is their style impetuous?
Will the Rockets defense eat your children?
Yeah. Depends on if Adams is it or not.
I think Dylan Brooks has been traded. Yeah, I think a man might eat your children. Yeah.
He might
eat Tyler Hero's children.
I'm gonna eat his
children. That's a good call. Yeah, it was a really fun game, especially towards the end of the fourth quarter when they were trading buckets. It was great basketball.
It was
like, this is going to be a stressful seven games in May when they play. But it was a great game, and then it got ruined.
Go on.
So many foul calls that were atrocious. The worst being the trip. That I know, supposedly, there is a camera shot from only the Denver Nuggets broadcast, apparently, that is an overhead shot that you can see the shin contact. But the Rockets should have won that game in regulation. You don't agree?
Nah, I mean, I thought it was a ticky-tack foul. I wouldn't have called a foul there. I don't like that there was a foul called there. I think it's one of those plays where it's going to be upheld however it was called. Like if there's no call there and like Denver challenged it, which I don't even know if they can in the run of play like that, I don't think that gets overturned. Marginal contact. I mean, there was contact. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there was not contact. But was the contact enough for it to warrant a foul? Like, whenever you have marginal contact like that and it doesn't impact the play, that gets let go all the time. Like, that call is rarely called.
Yeah.
I think because it was a critical moment. I think it's because Hardaway fell down. Like, if Hardaway just, like, kind of stumbles and, like, doesn't fall down, I don't think that gets called. Was there contact between a men's shin and Hardaway's foot? Yeah, there is contact there. There was contact there. I thought it was ticky-tack call, all of that. I hated that it was called there. That's, like, and look, like, people are, like, official bashing today, and I get it. Like, did the officials have a good game yesterday? No, they were terrible. We could have an honest conversation about the officials and how bad they were in the game yesterday. I thought they were bad throughout the game. I thought the Rockets got a really bad whistle yesterday. The entire game, not just that critical moment, but in that critical moment, I thought they were on the wrong side of a bad whistle in that contest yesterday as well. But there were so many other reasons the Rockets lost that game.
Oh.
Like, this is the issue that I have with, like, official bashing. It's like, oh, the referees cost them that game. They still had 5 minutes to play. They could have won the overtime period. One team had to. Denver did. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a lot of the issue. Like, I hear the reaction. And the reaction is fair, and I get it. But it kind of makes me cringe a little bit, too. Because I hate – you can't control officiating. You can't control if you have a challenge. You can use a challenge. It's the only way that you can control officiating. Maybe like the really good coaches, they can like, you know, work the ref a little bit to maybe get a favorable whistle the rest of the way. Like, that's the only way that you're affecting officiating at all. So I have a hard time, like, once the game is over and then, like, the day after the game, like, looking at it from, like, we got screwed. Like, I hate doing that. I always like to look at it like, what could you have controlled? What could you have done better? And there's 10 other things the Rockets could have done better yesterday that they could have won the game. They could have played a better overtime period. We'll get to the little last play where Alpi Şengün heaves up a three. Little critical turnovers. And you've been on this a lot. Like, little careless turnovers that can cost you. Like, that's going to cost you. Like, do you think you're always going to get a good whistle?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. But control the stuff that you can control. Be a little bit careful with the basketball. Stop the reckless turnovers. There were so many reaching in fouls in that game yesterday that drove me crazy. Like, and look, I get that you want to be aggressive and you want to have an aggressive style of defense. And like, Amen Thompson should probably have more leeway being aggressive. But also, know if you're in the bonus or not. Know if the other team's in the bonus or not. Know how many fouls you have. Know how many fouls they have before they get to the bonus. So I think it caught up to them yesterday. Silly turnovers, silly reaching in fouls. And it's one thing to play physical, like you're going to bang and you're going to get called for a few fouls playing physical. I get that. I want them to be physical. If it means that they foul more than other teams because they're being physical, I can live with that. But the little ticky-tack reaching in stuff annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, and frankly, I think it's more like they just played terribly at the end of the second quarter, yes. At the end of the third quarter, and then they didn't play well in overtime. I mean, Kevin Durant having one shot in overtime, it's not good enough. The turnover Kevin Durant had at the end of the third quarter, where he just threw it to the Nuggets player, was awful. They played bad basketball last night in chunks. They did not lose to the refs. The refs were terrible. I'm with you. Like, you can't just blame the refs and say that's why the Rockets lost last night. Even though, again, I think if they don't call that, the Rockets win because they play good defense on the last shot with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, but it's different, I think.
It is.
Do you win the game? Probably, if that foul's not called. Probably.
But
probably.
The problems are still there, right? To your point, too many fouls. Like, you also are seeing how this game is being called. And you have to adjust. If you know these refs are being ticky-tack, you kind of have to adjust your style. a little bit. And they just didn't do that in last night's game. But to me, it really comes down to the end of the second quarter and the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, look.
They didn't play good enough.
You also had a couple of technical fouls here in a game that went to overtime.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get a technical foul, maybe you win the game there. And, like, I'm all for coaches getting heated with officials. I'm all for players getting heated with officials. Like, let them know. But Alpi Şengün picked up a technical foul whenever the other team was getting, like, into the front court offensively. Like, you're trailing the play arguing with an official. Like, I know that it was a foul. I know that the Joker fouled you. I get it. But maybe wait for a dead ball. Like, maybe get back on defense, wait for a dead ball. Maybe don't get a technical because you went to overtime. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get a couple of those technicals. Maybe you win the game in regulation. Never comes down to that final possession. Ime Udoka got a T. I'm surprised Ime Udoka didn't get ejected. Ime Udoka, like, for Ime, look, again, like, I have no problem with coaches getting ejected. I have no problem with, like, proving a point. I like to pick my battles a little more wisely. Like, I don't like to do it in what I'm anticipating is going to be a tight game on the road. I think maybe I wait till the fourth quarter whenever I'm up or down by 10. Like, I'm going to be strategic in when I get my technicals and when I get my ejections. Not to say you shouldn't argue, but you just walk that line. I didn't like Alpi and Ime picking up a technical in that spot. I know the whistle was terrible. I know they were mad. They have every right to be mad. But you picked up technicals, sent the other team to the line in a game that went to overtime. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be a little smarter and, like, no win to pick up your T's.
Especially Alpi, frankly.
Alpi was the worst one. I give Ime a little bit more leeway. Alpi's, like, sitting there arguing in the run of play.
Because he does that all the time. I mean, I love Alper and Şengün. But he does that way too much.
Yeah.
Whether he's driving for a shot, and instead of worrying about trying to get the best shot possible, you can tell he's already getting ready to flop his arms up in the air and complain. Like, it's the one weakness, I think, of his game is he wants all the calls. If he doesn't get the calls, he complains a lot. And not getting back in that moment, it's inexcusable. And complaining with the ref in there and getting the tech. And the email one, yeah, look, he's heated. I think you're probably right. Probably should have been ejected.
I can't believe he didn't get thrown
out. I thought he was
out.
Going to.
Whenever he did the open your eyes, the gesture with that, like, yeah. I thought he was gone.
I think a lot of refs would eject him in that moment. And he's going to get a big old fine, which I know we'll get to in a little bit. But the Rockets, it was a really fun game, but it's a disappointing end because it shouldn't have ended up that way. This game should not have gone to overtime.
No.
They should have won this game in regulation for a lot of basketball reasons.
Yeah, the foul, the technicals, the turnovers. Yeah, I didn't in a way, I'm happy they lost. Like, in a way, I'm happy. Like, I feel like they're going to be able to learn this lesson a little better now because they lost.
I hope so.
Like, hey, Alpi, you're reaching in with 2.5 to play to a really good free throw shooter. How about we stop doing that? Mm-hmm. Amin Thompson, maybe you're being a little bit too aggressive defending this play to a guy who's not even their top option or even their second top option. Like, I think that there's some coach, and they're going to be coachable. Like, Ime's probably over the officials today, and they're having a film session today, and they're too well coached to let the officiating be the reason that they lost yesterday's game. And the heat and the battle, they're going to act that way.
Sure.
But Ime's going to send them in a little film sesh today. And, like, these are the areas we have to get better, we have to improve. And I trust that they will, because they're one of the best coaching staffs in the NBA, and Ime Udoka is one of the best coaches in the NBA. So they're going to learn these lessons. I think sometimes it's better to learn the lessons in a loss because it hurts more. And whenever you're hurting a little bit more, there's more desperation that sinks in. So I think you can learn the message a little bit better. So in a way, I'm kind of happy about that. I thought they played well for the most part. There's just little critical errors here and there. Really good matchup, two really good teams. Wouldn't surprise me, like you said earlier, if it is a playoff series down the road.
Yeah, and you get another shot at him on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like how do you respond? The coaching, like the adjustments, I'm really curious to see how that changes from last night's game to Saturday. One of them, to me, specifically, would be closing out on Jokic more strongly from Alpi at the three-point line. Because he hit a couple right in his eye.
Yeah.
And it's like there's the give and take, right? Like, Jokic can also just drive right past you. But I think you have to rely on your help there and not let him just keep ripping threes in your face like he was in the game.
Is it crazy to think that I don't think they did a terrible job on the Joker yesterday?
No. He scored, what, 39 points?
He scored 39, was 13 of 27 from the floor. Like, they held him to under 50% shooting. He's a guy who shoots 60% from the floor. Like, I actually think they did a decent job on him.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, maybe don't allow the threes, because threes, obviously, like, you money ball, like, hey, they're worth more type of thing. Maybe chase him off the three-point line, but then don't let him roll to the basket and try to get him into mid-range jumpers. But he's also so smart and doesn't take those.
He's the best player on planet Earth.
He's ridiculous.
So, because you look at the stat line, and there's hard to make an argument if you just look at that and say they did a good job.
Yep.
But it was they did fine.
No, no.
I thought Adams was good against them specifically.
Yeah.
In chunks. So I just.
Who's chunks? Just kidding.
Chunks of time. That's mean. Calling me out already?
I was kidding.
I know. But like, he's just.
And it's 13 minutes old. This is pretty late for me.
That's true. He's so dominant. There's going to be nights where no matter what you do, he's going to get his. He's going to get his triple-double. He's going to get over 30 points. And that felt like last night.
No,
where he
sure.
just dominated you, and you still did a solid job against him.
To me, they lost the game when they allowed Jamal Murray to go to the free throw line 15 times. Yeah. 15 free throws for Jamal Murray is too much. I can live with that Jokic stat line. Like, hey, if you told me before yesterday's game, Jokic is going to put up 39, 15, and 10. Okay. All right. Yeah.
For a guy
Stop everybody else.
For a guy that was huffing and puffing and had his hands on his knees the whole game, basically.
You're going to foul him out. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that from Jokic. I can live with that.
That's the thing, too, is like you lost with Jokic not in the game. That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the game for like the last minute or two.
Yeah, but just like would have liked to find a way to take advantage.
I mean, they didn't have many possessions after he was fouled out.
Well, it's because they were bad before. I guess they were bad before because they just let the Nuggets get too far, too many points at the beginning of overtime. To overcome it.
It was a little slow start to overtime.
Yeah. They didn't make any shots.
Yeah. Oh, we're mad at the official. Well, win the overtime period. Stop ticky-tack fouls. Don't let Murray go to the free throw line 15. Well, the officials were terrible. Yes, they were, but you can't control that. Control what you can control. 713-780-ESPN. People are making fun of the way I said Mel. How do you say Mel?
Mel.
Mel. Jeremy, I know you're an ESL student. I'm not an ESL student. I'm ESL. But you say Mel as Mel and Nell as Nell. They all sound the same to me.
To be honest with you, I wasn't going to say anything, but when you asked the question at first,
it felt funny the way I said it.
I wasn't sure what you meant.
Male.
Yeah.
Male.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get lazy with my words when I'm talking fast.
I think someone brought up the nail thing before.
No, I've worked on that.
Okay.
I've worked on that. Eel, like steel. Like I would say that, like steel. But I know how to say it. It's like I talk so fast that I get lazy with my words.
I've never heard you do that before until
today. I've been working on it.
Okay.
I've been working. See, I work on my craft. Thank you to the junkies because people are scared to like send you criticism.
Junkie?
No. I like the criticism. I learn from the criticism. People are making fun of me for saying steal and steal the same way. Now I've corrected that. I'm in the process of correcting. Look, again, I'm English. I'm ESL. Like I need all the help I can get.
So, and I'm Mexica.
Male. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, male.
Male.
Yep.
Yeah, not male.
You stepped over the mail.
Yeah.
You didn't pick it up.
Yeah, I was talking too fast. Yeah. Is what happened. I got a little lazy. My fundamentals.
You know what?
I was reaching in to Jamal Murray with 2.5 minutes to play.
Rockets are rubbing off on you.
They are. That's a tough word to say. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. This junkie had a boss who would intentionally throw trash on the floor in the warehouse, and if it sat for longer than an hour, the entire staff would get absolutely dog-cussed. Hated that dude. Don't be that dude, J-Bone. Sounds like a good idea, actually. Not a bad idea. I bet you he ran a tight ship. I bet you guys were highly efficient. I bet you guys got stuff done. I bet you got a great ROI. His job isn't to be your friend. His job isn't to be friends with you or to be buddies with you. His job is to run a well-efficient machine. Well-greased machine.
We got new interns starting in January. Should we do it?
Yeah.
Let's leave like a food plate. Just like next to the intern station. See,
I mean,
if
our full-time employees don't pick that up.
That's
I don't think the interns are.
That's true.
Jeremy and the long vowel sound are true enemies. Do as I say, not as I do. Do officials not call traveling and double dribble anymore? The double dribbling that goes on is ridiculous. I'd have to see the play. I didn't see anything like that yesterday where I lost my mind.
But they don't. I feel like double dribble is not a thing anymore.
I feel like they call double dribbles when double dribbles happen.
I think they have to be really extreme.
Like I don't see like a double dribble like let go.
I think they do.
Like they're dribbling, they pick it up and they dribble again?
More like the palm.
A carry.
The carry. I guess so carry, yeah. More carry than double dribble.
Yeah, I've never really seen a time where I'm like, "Oh yeah, he picked the ball up and put it back down and they're just allowing that to happen."
Yeah, that's more carry for me.
Here's a hot take. I prefer that the way that the travel calls officiate in the NBA, loose. Than the way it is officiated in college, tight.
I'm with that.
In college, I feel like if it looks funny, it's a travel, and oftentimes it's not.
Yeah, I mean, like the one earlier this year from Giannis that everyone was focusing on where it looked like he took 15 steps and one dribble. That's egregious, it felt like, in the moment. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's basketball now. I'm kind of used to it. It's one of those things that I would complain about like 2 or 3 years ago that I'm like, I guess just the way the game's called now.
You know what I'm what are you curmudgeon-y about in sports now? 713-780-3776. The one that I'm curmudgeon-y about is the illegal motion where the guy in motion moves towards the line of scrimmage at the time of the snap. It drives me nuts. Yes.
Yeah.
They never call it.
No.
They're always moving towards the line of scrimmage at the time of snap, and it drives me nuts.
It especially bothers me because, like, the Jalen Knoll play 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. where he's basically set. Like he is.
I thought he was.
Barely. Like, he's not.
I thought
fully,
they called that right.
But see, but it's because they call that, but then they don't call the guy moving forward. To me, they contradict. Like one should be, if one's okay, the other one should also be okay. Because it was so close to being
set. It's got to be a full second, though. And I think what we lose sight of on that play, too, is also Dalton Schultz. Like, they were moving in motion at the same time. So, like, Knoll has to come completely set.
No, the other one that Knoll got called for. Because there was two in that game. There was one where he just moved in motion. Maybe it was Christian Kirk. He moved in motion to the right by himself, and CJ snapped. It was the Dalton Schultz touchdown.
No, Dalton Schultz was moving prior to that. Dalton Schultz was moving prior to Knoll moving.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the dump when they both moved.
No. Like, okay. That's something like the condensed game in the All-22 didn't capture, was that Schultz was in motion, and he has to come set for a full second before the other guy can move if he's going to be moving at the time of snap.
Gotcha.
Which Knoll would have been fine if he's moving if Schultz had come set before Knoll started moving.
Gotcha.
But Schultz wasn't completely set. Knoll started moving, so now they both have to come set for a full second. Schultz obviously did. Knoll was probably like 3/4 of a second.
Yeah.
Very close to a full second, but not quite a full second. All right, 713-780-3776. We're here from Ime Udoka. He wasn't happy about the officiating. Alpi Shingun, he wasn't happy about the officiating. How about the last play call, too? The Alpi Shingun in overtime where he heaved up a three. More about that Rockets game yesterday, too. Plenty to get to. Monday Night Football yesterday. Don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. The college football quarterback carousel as well. 713-780-ESPN HRP listener line. Twitch, be careful. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Why does Jeremy start every show griping? I'm a curmudgeon, man. I'll openly admit it. Why is this the only show that reads texts? I can't speak to other shows. Sorry. I'm not reading your last question. I specifically meant double dribbling. The Rockets TV guy even pointed it out, and that's a double when it happened on air. He'd have to show me the play. I'm not doubting that it happened. I don't have recollection of it. Here was Ime Udoka after the game yesterday. Didn't like the officiating. Gonna pay a hefty fine, I think.
Part of the BPL, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, just in general, I think it's poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. Two have no business being out there, and the crew chief is acting starstruck. So you're seeing all kind of inconsistent calls. And I'm sure we should have got a few more texts.
What do you say to your team when a game is being called the way that it was tonight?
Keep being who we are. We're not going to adjust to poor officials. So we're going to do what we do, and hopefully they can adjust and call it the right way.
His insults are classic. I mean, so good.
Those two of them don't even belong out there.
The two don't belong, and the crew chief is starstruck. Did he say at the end we should have gotten more texts?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah, he did.
Like you said, though, I think everyone was surprised he didn't get kicked out.
I was stunned, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was stunned he didn't get kicked out of that game.
I mean, he, like, very clearly verbally drops a what the bleep after the initial call of the tripping.
Well, they don't care what you say. You can say what you, as long as you're not, like, personally insulting them, like, you can drop as many F-bombs as you want. Like, they're not going to, that doesn't matter. It's what you say.
Yeah, that is going to be a large fine.
Yeah, it's going to be a large fine.
But fair. Well, I mean, now, I don't know if I've ever heard a coach honestly say anything like that.
I'm sure there's been times.
Like, saying, like, they don't belong out there. Not the starstruck one, I'm sure, has happened before, right?
I'm sure there's been times.
But man, to drop both of them in there.
Ime particularly does not like that female official. Like, I've noticed that in the past. Like, he doesn't really like her in the way that she calls a game.
Maybe she's not good at her job.
Ime doesn't think so. Ime literally just said that she was one of the two that didn't belong out there.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't the crew chief. So clearly Ime is saying to that one official that he, in his opinion, does not think that she belongs on the floor. Here was Alpi Şengün after the game. I thought this was a funny question from the reporter and a funny clip from Alpi.
You feel like you get the same calls Jokic gets?
No, I don't know. I mean, you know, he got two-time MVP. I'm sure he wasn't getting the calls when he wasn't my age, too. So, you know, eventually, you know, I'll get there, you know.
I love the beginning of it. Do you think you get the same calls? No, hell no.
Can we clip that?
It needs to be a drop. I feel like
you get the same calls Jokic gets?
No, I don't know. I mean...
It's so matter of fact. Like, no, man, I don't.
But you can also like hear him think. Like, you can hear his thought. Like, yeah, hell no.
And then he softens. It's like, well, you know, he earned that. Like, he got there, and I'll get there. But the initial reaction was, hell no, man.
He's like insulted by the no, hell no.
It's like, look, I appreciate he wasn't like I deserve them now. Even at the end, he's like, I'm sure I'll get there. I hope you do, Alpi. I hope one day you are getting those calls that Jokic was getting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean.
I wanted to see, because a lot of people call him Baby Jokic, which apparently he doesn't want to be called that anymore. He was asked about it after the game. He's like, look, it's an honor and it's a compliment, but, you know, I'm at the stage of my career where, you know, hopefully they start calling me other stuff, but, you know, I can't control what people are saying about me. They asked Jokic about it, too, and Jokic kind of gave the same thing. He's like, he's carving out his own career, blah, 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 blah. So Alpi is in his fifth year in the NBA. He's averaging 23.5 points, 9.5 rebounds, 7 assists a game. He's 23 years old. Whenever the Joker was in his fifth year, he was 24. He finished, well, he had a really good year the year before. So he was averaging roughly 20 points a game, 10.5 rebounds a game, 7-ish assists per game. Had a fourth-place MVP finish and a ninth-place MVP finish. I don't think Alpi's on the same trajectory, but he's very good. Alpi's very good. This isn't like a bash Alpi thing. This is more of like, yeah, he probably is the baby Jokic.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, grown man Joker.
I know their career started off a little bit differently. Alpi got drafted in the lottery, and Jokic got drafted during the Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah.
But Nikola Jokic is pretty close to already cementing himself as probably a top 10 player of all time.
I don't think so.
I think he's on his way. If he's not there already, he's at least top like 13 at worst.
I think it's still too early.
I don't know.
I think it's still too early, man.
Three MVPs. So
you have him ahead of Hakeem?
No.
You have Hakeem in your top 10?
I do.
Most people don't.
I know. I disagree with that list.
So, who are the centers in your top 10 if you're putting Jokic in it?
So Shaq, Jokic, Hakeem, Wilt, Kareem.
Do you have room for guards?
Michael, LeBron, Bird, Magic. I think that's
the common theme for all problem. Those guys except for Jokic is they have multiple titles.
And they've done it. The counting stats are higher. Like, Jokic has a way to go with the counting numbers. He's only 30. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to take him a while to get there for points. It's going to take him a while to get there for rebounds. Now, his pinnacle, not many guys have three MVPs.
No.
The numbers he puts up are insane. I do think that it's a bit favorable for him, like this era, because a lot of people be like, oh, look at Jokic's numbers and look at Hakeem's numbers. I'm sorry. His numbers look better. Sure. I'll grant you that. Which guy would I rather have if I got both of them from their, you know, rookie year for their next, you know, their full career and just plug them into today's NBA? Yeah. Who are you picking?
Hakeem.
I'm picking Olajuwon every single time. Like, Olajuwon would be doing massive. Olajuwon's numbers in this era would be better than the Joker's numbers in this era.
You think Olajuwon is like learns a three-point shot?
Yes.
In today's era?
No doubt about it.
It looks like his most average per game in his career was 0.3.
Yeah, he didn't shoot it.
Yeah.
He would shoot them late in blowouts. What was his percentage? Like, I think it was okay.
30%.
Yeah.
1 year, 40% one.
Yeah, he would develop a three.
18% 1 year.
Well, he didn't shoot many.
Yeah, no, he didn't shoot. Like, I mean, his last 3 years in the NBA, it looks like he did not take a single three.
No, he never shot them. I remember him shooting them late in games blowouts, and he would do it to make the crowd happy. He didn't. It wasn't part of his game. He didn't shoot threes. That wasn't his style. Hollins yesterday, I didn't really have any hyperbolic Hollins. He just got super annoying to me in overtime. He was complaining so much about the officials in overtime. He was talking over Craig with his bashing of officials.
I mean, I thought it was throughout the entire game. He complains a lot about officiating. And Craig, you can tell, kind of wants to move past it because he wants to call the game. But Hollins, relentlessly. And I don't remember him much as a player, but it makes me feel like either. He honestly just complained all the time as a player.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember him much as a player either.
He didn't play a lot.
I remember him being on the floor, but I don't remember his antics as a player.
But yeah, he complained the whole game.
Yeah, he was, especially in overtime, man. Yeah. He was kind of insufferable overtime.
Especially once that one foul happened at the end there, the trip. Then it really went to another level at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rockets weren't even the team that had two guys foul out.
No, I mean, I think they got a bad whistle, but at the same time, you have to move on. Kevin Durant yesterday took 14 shots. Alpi took 27. And look, Alpi had a great game. I'm not trying to say Alpi should take less shots, but is 14 enough for Durant?
Absolutely not. He needs the ball more. He needs to shoot more. He needs to be more involved in the offense. He can't have one shot in overtime. It's reminiscent of the Thunder game, where he didn't take a shot for a majority of the second half and took two or three in overtime against the Thunder, and then he fouled out. That can't happen. He has to be more actively involved in the offense. I know you have other guys who are excellent. Like you said, Alpi was very good last night, but Kevin Durant needs to shoot the ball more.
Yeah.
He's 8 for 14, 2 for 3 from the three-point line.
He is getting a lot of attention, so it's kind of hey, I'm going to make the right basketball play. I wonder if some of it has to do that this was, game number 23 of the season, and Durant's thinking in the back of his mind, hey, we need these other players to come along and to elevate their game in order for us to be as good as we're going to be in the long run. So I wonder if part of it is him, because I would hate for it to be he kind of disappears in big moments. I hope that's not the case. I hope it's more, we need these guys to come along. We need them to develop. We need them to level up as basketball players. And a way to do that is that, I've had my battles, and I will be here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But these guys need to elevate their game, so I'm going to take a back seat for a little while.
He feels deferential in a way he's never felt in his career. Even when he was playing with Westbrook and Harden and Curry and Draymond and Klay, he's playing a different style of basketball. Now, and the Rockets are playing much differently than all the other NBA teams. Maybe if they were shooting 43s a game, Kevin Durant's numbers would reflect that. But I just, as good as Alpi is, there shouldn't be a night, to me, where he doubles the amount of shots as Kevin Durant.
Yeah, what'd you think of the sideline out of bounds play?
Awful.
At the end of the game?
Awful.
Yeah, I didn't love the shot that they got. Kevin Durant kind of got taken out of the play, though, the way they defended it. You know what I think? You know where I think the error was made? I think the error was made calling a timeout. They brought it up the floor. Kevin Durant had it. It's kind of in that moment, hey, just rise and fire, or hey, maybe quick pick and roll before the defense can really think about what they want to do. And Durant sends it into the post for Alpi inside the three-point line. I was like, well, that's not where I want the ball. And then they took a timeout. Maybe he took a timeout because the ball went into the post. And then out of the timeout, I understand, Durant got taken out of the play. You can only, take what the defense gives you. But I would have liked a better look than an Alpi right wing three for the tie.
Is it fair to say he should have, because I saw this last night and watching the play after, I don't totally disagree that he should have flipped it back to Jabari there instead of trying to do the turnaround fade that as Jabari was coming in bounds, give him the ball back and let Jabari take an open
three. Reed passed it in, right?
No, Jabari passed it in, I thought.
I have to go back and watch the play. So just find the inbounder?
Yeah, just give it back to the inbounder instead of a turnaround three that bricked.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just didn't like the play. I didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it either.
Once Kevin Durant's taken out, you have to have a better solution in the play call.
You need option B there. And look, Reed's on the floor. Reed had a huge bravado yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Reed Shepard was taking some. Reed Shepard took a three yesterday. I was like, I hate that shot. Oh, it went in. Great.
They're in the fourth quarter?
I can't remember. I don't think it was OT. I think it was fourth.
Yeah, when they were going back and forth, I think Jokic hit one. Yeah, Jokic hit one on Alpi, and then Reed responded immediately.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I did not like the shot.
I know, but it was awesome.
Hated the shot selection. It was 17 in the shot clock. He was comes like a pull-up three.
Yeah.
I don't want you taking that shot. Oh, okay, it went in.
We saw the advantage of his quick hands, I thought, periodically throughout the game last night, where he's not great on defense, but we saw that he can impact the play, impact the game defensively with steals and things like that, and just kind of being a pest. But, I would have much preferred Reed to take the last shot than Alpi.
I think everybody on the floor.
Yeah.
Everybody, like Alpi would have been the
shot.
He would have been the last guy I picked. I mean, he was open.
I mean, I guess.
And I don't think it was like a turnaround jumper. Like, he squared up, but it just.
I think he had more time to square up, too.
He did have a little more time.
Yeah. He rushed it a little bit.
How do you fix the NBA officiating? 713-780-3776. What is the fix for NBA officiating? Because Ime Udoka thought that two of them didn't belong on the floor and that one of them was starstruck. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. We're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Do you think it's a mistake not to adjust to poor officiating? Yeah?
I mean, I know he's the head coach and he disagrees, but my answer is yes. You kind of have to, don't you?
I mean, I feel like they adjusted, though.
But he said they wouldn't. He said he told his guys not to. We're not going to adust these garbage officials.
Yeah.
That was the one I just
feel like that was just his way of like getting an insult in there.
Kind of puffing his chest at the end.
Yeah, like if they're calling every single foul, like I think you're going to be a little softer defensively, you know? All right. So a lot of people are like, I hate officials. They need to fix the official problem. I'm not a big fan of like people who just spot the problem. Anybody can spot the problem. That's easy. We have many problems. They're very easy to spot. You know what I like, Joe? I like problem solvers. Like anybody, any dummy can find the problem. I like problem solvers. So whenever people are like, oh, they need to fix officiating. Cool. You're one of the billion people who understand how to find a problem. But are you one of the few that are the problem solver? So what is your fix? How do you fix NBA officiating?
Well, the hard part is the easiest way to fix it is to have New York more involved. But the problem with that is the NBA, not last night really, is typically a really poor experience watching the final 2 minutes of a game.
Yeah, Elam ending.
Timeouts, penalty, foul calls, all of it. There's it's a bad watch, which should be the best moments of a game. I think you just have to be maybe more clear, honestly, like what is and what is not to be called. It just feels like they're all on different pages. It feels to be too much discrepancy from one crew to the next about what is being called and what is not.
Yeah.
Where obviously in the NFL, things are largely black and white. Like you have official crews that do, you know, call holding more than other crews, but there's holding on every play, right? Just like there's a foul on every NBA play. It just feels like they're not on the same page. And I think it really starts there of just teaching these people better. Honestly. Because like you can't just get rid of them all. I saw Spolane tweet out, like, they've hired a bunch of new officials. That's part of the problem here. So if it's all young, maybe they'll get better with age. Once they get more experience.
They, like, find one.
Yeah.
Become a little slower, less athletic.
That's okay. Wiser.
Okay. I'm just seeing which of the two you prefer. Do you prefer wisdom and sage?
I feel like you need, like, one.
Or do you like, you know, a springy athletic official? I
feel like you need, like, a mixed bag. You have like, you know, one springy athletic official.
It's like mixed nuts.
One wise man and one person that is not a soft boy and doesn't hand out texts.
Yeah, he could be like your crew chief.
Yeah.
Like you let the other two be like athletic and stuff.
Yeah. You just need like.
They're the one who sprint up the floor.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here that handles the personalities.
Yeah.
Stick the wise man under the basket and let the young guys run.
Yeah. I mean, the other solution that I think might be the most obvious is adding an official to each game.
Yeah, that would help.
Adding a fourth official.
Yeah, fourth official would help. Although now it's an extra whistle, which, like, does that mean more calls? Which
that's
you
true.
Talked about pace of play, yeah, especially in the last couple of minutes.
Like, that could blow up in our face. Like, yeah. It could make it 10 times worse.
Yeah, I don't, like, to me, there's not any great fixes. Like, this is, NBA basketball is a hard sport to officiate. I think that, you know, we've talked about this with the NFL. The further and further that you drop levels in terms of the NBA, like, you complain about NBA officials, go watch the D3 basketball.
That's awful.
Like, they need to get these refs out of here. Okay, and then replace them with who? With what?
The
like,
next high school teacher to come in?
Like, who do you want to replace them with? Because not all of these are the top officials in the world, but 90% of them are. Maybe there's 10% of college basketball officials that are better than the bottom 10% of NBA officials.
I don't think so.
But probably not.
It's part of the reason why I don't love college basketball.
It's a very difficult game to officiate. These referees mostly are some of the best officials that officiate basketball in the entire world. Mm-hmm. That is 100% fact. Now, my thing with officiating has always been like relegation promotion.
You have the G League.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of like, hey, we're going to grade you. If you're in the bottom 10%, whatever you determine, we're going to demote you. Hey, we got the G League. Maybe you can make an agreement with college basketball, however you want to do it. And maybe you can't do college basketball because now it's a lot of like, you know, there's different entities there. So maybe it's just a G League thing and you promote whatever percentage in the G League. Like I would be a fan of that because now you're filtering out bad officials. You're replacing them with good officials. A little bit of a healthy turnover there. And it's not to say that you can't be demoted and then promoted back up. Like, hey, you're demoted. Hey, you're bad. Go work on your craft. And maybe you can come back and have a 15-year career because you've excelled, you know, your position. So I think that's the best way to go. Mm-hmm. Sarge posted earlier today, like, they need to fix the officiating problem. You know, how I feel about problem finders. Give me problem solvers, not problem finders. I was like, well, what's your fix? He said, have them talk to the media after the game.
See,
like,
I don't think that fixes.
I agree with you. Like, does that hold them more accountable? Sure. But is accountability the issue of why they're missing calls? I don't think so. Like, I don't think it makes them a better official because they talk to the media.
Did Laremy Tunsil ever stop jumping off sides?
Yeah, he did for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, he had like 7 games where he didn't have an offside.
Cool. So a 7 game of like answering to the media.
I'm sorry I answered your question
but like,
directly.
He's been awful majority of his career at false starts.
Right.
And he meets with the media multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change anything.
Like, Joe, if you ask me to run a 40, like, I'm not going to get better by talking to the media.
Yeah.
Like, my 40 time is not going to improve the more I talk to the media. Like, who does the media think they are? That they're, like, saving lives? Like, because they're asking questions, they're saving lives and increasing the production and athleticism of everybody they talk to.
Yeah. And you
like,
think,
what?
And you think there's media members that, like, don't know ball? There's a lot more media members that don't know the rules of the games.
No one knows the rules of the games.
Like no one's ever read that book before.
No, people like gripe at the officials and then like they get told the rule and they're like, "Whoa, that rule's stupid." Okay, well then it's a rule problem, not an official problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So answering to the media doesn't really help. Now, I think you could do more accountability throughout this. I like the final 2-minute thing the NBA puts out. You could expand that. That's, you know, you're creating jobs. Because that's a lot of work to do that. But you could go beyond the 2-minute report. It's something I'd like to see the NFL and Major League Baseball have more frequently. Like,
yeah.
We have the MLB audit Twitter account, but like that's not an MLB official thing, right? So I think adding increased accountability to that. And, you know, frankly, like if it slowed down the playoffs even more, really penalizing these crews by not letting them be part of the playoffs and making these guys travel a bunch. I'd be fine with that, too.
Yeah. No, I think they should just ask more questions to the media because the media saves everything.
We do.
With their questions, they save lives. They rescue people. They change careers.
What a pat on the back answer that was from Sarge.
I didn't really, like, think about it all the way through, like, how arrogant it is.
Yeah.
Like, our questions can save officiating forever.
Yeah, because they've saved the Texans red zone problems.
Hey, you got that call wrong in that overtime period. I'm going to ask you about it, and you're going to give me a stock answer, and then you're going to be a better official after I ask you about it.
Yeah, when is that? When does that question happen? After the problem already happened?
Yeah.
Like, it fixes zero problems.
Oh, so maybe mid-game press conference is what you're saying.
We don't need
timeout from the box.
You know, it's a good idea. Like we have these sideline reporters that are interviewing coaches in between quarters. Go interview the head official between
awesome.
The third and the fourth quarter.
I would love to see like
that'd be great for TV.
Like, yeah,
those guys aren't boring.
Let's go do it.
Ime walk over to Vanessa and be like, ask him about this right now.
Let the coach interview the ref about this call.
I talk to officials.
Put them in an octagon.
I talk to a lot of the officials. No. It's, I mean, I guess it can be a flex if you want to spin it that way. But I'll talk to officials like that I see often, and I do see them often because we get the same officials. But I never ask them about the calls or anything. Like I talk to them like on a personal basis. Like, where are you off to next? Like, you know, what's the, you know, like stupid stuff like
small
that.
Small talk Branham?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't see that from you.
Well, I see them a lot.
Okay.
Like I see these people a lot, but like not every single day. But and then, you know, sometimes you'll have like a rule question. Never argue. But like, hey, I saw this in another game. Yeah. Like never or never even think anything that happened in that game. It would be something that happened like previously. And I have a few officials that I text. That I'll text like, hey, you know, when this is a play I saw. How would you
text any about last night?
Great question.
No, I didn't think that there was anything that was really questionable.
Really, the one thing is the men thing, obviously.
Yeah, like I wouldn't have called a foul there, but he did make contact. Like I don't think there's any question there. You know, like I think most officials don't make that call, and I think they'd be fine not to make that call.
I mean, I'll tell you, like if
mostly rule interpretation questions.
If that's a call, I'm just adding a dive into every final play like that. I'm just telling someone to fall over.
I mean, if they're going to call it, why wouldn't you?
If someone's chasing you, trip, man.
Why wouldn't you?
Like, yeah, just give it a shot. See if they call it. Like, that's what I don't like about it. It's funny, too, like, the whole altitude TV had an angle that no one else had. Why? Like, maybe we'd all feel differently today if we'd seen this angle from up top. Like, why didn't the Shin have it or Peacock?
Well, I think you're getting very out into the weeds of, like,
I am.
Visiting team production.
I am, but like I don't know if
a visiting team like has I don't know their truck. Are they sending a full truck?
No, probably not.
Are they getting every camera angle in the in-house arena feed? Like whenever visiting teams are in Houston, is Shin providing every single camera feed to the other visiting truck?
Definitely not, and that's why like the NFL is different because it's obvious it's one national broadcast, but it's just tough in that moment when you get this Shin explanation from the referee. And it's impossible to see. Like, it's hard to see, like, where the actual it is. Like, I like to see the camera angle where it actually happened. It's not a criticism. It's just really, like, I would have liked to have seen that in real time. And maybe we'd feel differently about last night's game.
I don't think they would have. Because, I mean, people eventually saw it and still don't like the call.
That's true.
I don't think it would have changed the way we feel. Now, do I wish they would have, you know, had been privy to that view? Yeah, but I'm not, like you said, blaming anybody. Like, I don't think that, my guess is they weren't privy to it. My guess is that they didn't have access to that.
And then, you know, well, the Shin call?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably they would have shown it if they did.
It was probably a stadium camera.
Probably.
I don't know. I really don't know. Eric the Buyer, I'd fix officiating by launching an FBI investigation into all the officials and Adam Silver. That's not a bad idea.
I'll tell you. They've done some bad damage to their sport. Because that was like my immediate thought was the spread was 1.5 and that call got called. The trip was like, I don't like this. This feels shady.
It was a 1-point game.
Yeah, I know. But the Nuggets, if you need the Nuggets to cover and win, you need that call to happen.
The Nuggets already were covering.
They were -1.5.
Nuggets were dogs.
I thought they were favorites yesterday.
We talked about this yesterday. We said Rockets are -1.5-point favorites. Oh. And we're like, whoa.
I guess I misheard that.
We remember we were like mind blown. We're like, whoa.
Well, maybe they still have money on the. They still got money on the Rockets.
So because they
I
had
know,
money,
I know. That, the, no, you're I mean, wrong. No, I'm wrong.
No, it kind of is. That actually makes more sense than your Nugget one. Because if the game ends there, the Rockets don't cover.
You're right.
Yeah, so they sent the game. The referees made that call because they were betting on the Rockets.
It made me kind of sad that I thought that immediately.
I think everybody thinks that.
That looks fixed. I don't really feel that when I watch the NFL or Major League Baseball. But watching the NBA, I'm like, that's not really on the up and up, it looks like.
The foul call in a mid against Murray near half court was atrocious also. Yeah, there's some benefit. I didn't love the way that I didn't love the way that Jokic was getting away with a lot of his physical play in the paint. Mm-hmm. And then when the Rockets got a little physical with him, he was getting all the calls.
That felt very one-sided.
Like, if you want to allow physical play, cool. I'm down for that. Let's see it on both ends. If you're not going to allow it, cool. I rather see it. But if you're going to call the whistle that way, then call the whistle that way.
A lot of people are suggesting fines, like hitting their wallets.
So you have to put a cap on it.
Because I also don't know if it really fixes anything. Right? Like just because like you're bad at your job and you're getting fined.
See, I think officials are really trying hard to get the calls right.
I agree.
Like maybe I'm extremely naive there, but I believe that the officials really do want to get the call right. So I already think that you're getting their maximum effort to get the call right. So like the fining thing is kind of weird. Would I be okay with it? Sure, I guess. But you're not going to be able to fine them like 10 grand for a missed call. It'd be like $100 a pop.
Yeah, it also...
Even then, it's kind of weird, man.
And, like, would anyone care in the moment after? Like, does it make anyone feel better? Honestly? Like it's like, oh, cool, that guy lost money. Maybe. Does it make me feel any better? Make you feel any better? If you feel like the Rockets got screwed last night,
yeah.
Does watching the referees get fined $500 or $1,000 make you feel any better about the way you lost the game?
Slightly, maybe.
I mean,
does it change the result?
Like, yeah.
What do I get out
also,
of it?
Also, do you think they would have been fined on that play?
No, I think
no, it was too close.
No.
There was contact.
Yeah, it was too close.
So,
to...
like, fine them for bad calls. No. Fine them for that. Well, they wouldn't have been fined for that one.
The referees, the association would have stuck up for the referees in that moment. They'd have said, "Hey, it's a close call."
Yeah,
like they were like, "No fine necessary."
We each draw for every 5 missed calls. They get a fingernail pulled out with pliers. I bet they'll stop missing them then. I bet they won't. I bet they won't stop missing them. In fact, they might make more. Because they're scared.
Yeah.
Or they'll quit, so you'll get worse refs.
Yeah, they'll, they'll just be shaking their hands the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think that's the answer. Also, what happens when they get their 11th missed call?
Toes.
Okay, their 21st mid-call.
You hook up a car battery.
Like, what are we doing then?
Teeth.
the tips?
You just keep, and then eventually it's just one hair follicle at a time.
Have an extra official at each game that audits every call. Sometimes they do have graders there. But they don't, like, have any influence on the game. What if there was a grading system with negative consequences for wrong calls in the two-minute report, possibly expanded to the fourth quarter report? So you can be really bad up until the final 2 minutes if you want to do that. Tie a portion of their pay to good and bad calls, incentive-laden, have an extra official at the games. Refs should wear the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. Then you grade them on their calls after each game and use their perspective to grade on. They get docked for making bad calls and bonuses. They call it a good game. They need accountability.
I mean, I think it adds accountability, but it doesn't fix the problems within the
game. Would it make the game better? Would it make officiating better?
No, I don't think so.
I think if it did, and I'm with you, I don't really think it does. I think it keeps it the same. I think it would be like 3% better. Like, it would not even be noticeable.
Yeah. To me, the only real way.
They try. They really try.
The only thing they can really do to fix it is adding someone not on site that is reviewing every single play, every single call in real time. With multiple camera angles going at once and being able to buzz in and stop it.
Like the NFL
and the stop play,
this?
Too?
Exactly. That's the problem.
So, like, Alpi Şengün, he's got a little baby hook. The Jokic kind of undercuts him. It's a foul. They don't call it. Rebound, outlet, balls at midcourt, you're getting a buzz to stop play?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Now, and there's really no way to do it like how, like, there's the, a couple times a year we see where a player's foot is on the line, they call it a three. And then, like a minute or two later, when the game stops, they reverse it back to a two-pointer.
Yeah, monitor and check it.
Like
media,
that can happen, but I don't know how you unless like the play has to stop. It has to be a foul that you reverse the other way.
That's also a gray area though, because now it changes like the situation of the game.
Yeah,
it's tough, man. Refing is super hard. I ref the basketball tournament at a church camp as a volunteer. I'll never do it again. Someone says electric shock collar. Why are we doing this? Why are Branham, your call the first minute of the same as the last minute guy, huh? I mean, within reason. Like, if you're allowing banging the entire game, you can't just all of a sudden in the last possession each way not allow banging.
Totally agree.
Like, you as your official, you're laying down the law early of how this game is going to be officiated. So if you're allowing them to play, you can't all of a sudden just tighten the screws in the final minute.
Because it's the final minute, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, I think there should be a little bit of, like, leeway of, like, okay, well, this is the final shot of the game. Obviously, this can be called a little different than, like, the first shot of the game. But at the same time, you are setting the tone, and I feel like the tone should be the same from the moment the ball is tipped until the final horn.
Mm-hmm.
So I am maybe that way. While also giving a little bit of leeway, whatever, you know, critical moments, stuff like that. Complaining about the refs is the worst thing in sports. Refs are not, it will not, never be perfect as part of the sport. That's where I land. That's where I land. Somebody, have them ask, another person says, force the officials to answer post-game conference questions. There, problem solved. No, that doesn't fix it. Doesn't fix anything.
It doesn't solve anything.
All right, Monday Night Football. Dolphins, Steelers yesterday. Steelers, are they legit? Are the Steelers legit? Just how bad are the Dolphins? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN
97.5.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.